ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Just run as fast as I can, and I believe I can do it, man. Just believe I can, like, hit, crack the 97s.
The fastest 100-metre runner Australia has ever seen isn't Gout Gout. It's not Lockie Kennedy. It's not OG Patrick Johnson. It's that guy you just heard from, 24-year-old Eddie Nketiah, and he is rapid. A couple of weeks back, he ran the fastest ever time by an Australian in all conditions, a wind-assisted 9.84, representing the University of Southern California. And while that's not technically a legal time, it tells you a lot about the guy's ceiling. Eddie's confirmed to us he wants to run the Comm Games later this year, assuming he can run the required qualifying time. There's not much that's conventional about this story. I mean, this is a guy who was competing for New Zealand but mysteriously cut ties and is now Aussie. He's dabbled with rugby and even American football, but now he's focusing purely on being really, really quick. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Eddie, thanks so much for joining us today on the ABC. Can you just take us back to that insane, incredible run? When you think back to the day, what strikes you? What do you remember from that moment?
Oh, man, what I remember is, like, days before the race, Coach and I have been talking about, like, just focusing on execution rather than time. And, like, that's all we've just been focusing on. It's just seven quality steps from the blocks. It's just, like, don't think about anything else. Just seven quality pushes, head down, and just after the seven quality pushes, just go. And, like, that's what I've been emphasizing and just trying to get my conscious, like, into it as well. And, like, that translated over into the race. And, like, after the seven steps, I just, like, went and, like, just put my head down. And, like, around the 30 to the 40, that's when I started going. And I just kept relaxed, just move my arms as fast as I can, and just until the 90 meters, I ended up swimming. But, like, after when I turned my head around and, like, running at 9.84, I was, like, shocked. Like, the best time situation I could say is just very shocking to run that time, especially, like, I never thought that I was capable of running a time like this in my life.
You must have felt quick because, as I said off air, in the vision, your head, you're snapping around to see the time. Was there a sense, hey, I've executed this perfectly?
Well, actually, yeah, like, I just felt like there was no trips, no slip-ups, like, and no tightness. Like, I beat, like, the big-name sprinters as well. So it's like, oh, it's got to be, like, a great time. When 9.84 just popped up, then when I look at the wind reading, I was like, ah, it's a bugger. But, like, I was just still, like, shocked that I actually run that fast.
Tell me about the reaction from people in your life, but also maybe people you didn't know, but, you know, you knew about. Were there sort of surprising people reaching out?
Honestly, actually, a lot of people, but, like, there is, like, a lot of names. And, like, from here on out, after the 9.84, after the 9.84, like, so many messages has came across, like, from internationals from different countries. And, like, it's just so hard to keep in tabs. Lachlan Kennedy and Gout Gout, like, sent me some messages. And, like, I just said thank you so much and I appreciate it. It's pretty good to, like, get, like, messages from these top sprinters as well.
Sprinting's such an individual pursuit, but Australia feels like it's got such a special team vibe and space right now. The men's 4x100 just equaled the national record over the weekend and then finished fourth in the world in Botswana. You talk about Gout and Lockie. Is there something, a sense of something really special building in that sort of overall Aussie team component right now?
Actually, over the years, when I've seen, like, Australian sprinting have been developing over the time, it just got me, like, thinking, like, we came a long way, man. Like, who knew that, like, now we're becoming a powerhouse in the world? And it's good to see, like, everybody's, like, finally, like, developing and, like, running, like, great times in the world stage. And it's only going to get better from here on out. And, like, us running fourth in the world relay, I mean, them running fourth in the world relays is, like, awesome. It's just signals that, like, in world championships to come, like, we got this. Like, we can start, like, podium and, like, running great times and, like, also building history and a foundation for the next generation to come.
Why were you not involved in that meet over the weekend? I think a lot of Australian athletics fans would have loved to have seen you involved. I'm sure that, you know, it's a complicated thing to get to Botswana. Can you help us understand there?
Okay, so there's two things. We had the dual meet over the weekend. It was USC versus UCLA, and The other thing was like Coach and I were discussing like that we just want to put our focus onto the NCAA commitments, as like if I flew to Botswana, then like it'll just mess up the training and it mess up the schedule and it will make me like not perform well the way I want to perform in the big stage in the NCAAs in a few weeks' time.
So you're taking a real, you know, big picture, long-term approach. I think there's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, it sounds as though in an Australian sense, you guys are really lifting each other up. Is there a healthy rivalry there as well? Because as I say, ultimately sprinting, it's about as individual as a sport as it can be at times as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just healthy. Like, even though, like, on the track, like, we may be, like, intense and, like, bitter rivalry, but, like, at the same time, it's all love, but, like, we're just trying to run good and, like, run fast.
Kennedy clearly in front at halfway. All about the time now. Lockie's going for it. Going for it and going and getting it. Yes, you betcha. And it is legal. What an extraordinary young talent he is.
At the same time, it's just, we just push each other. And like, at the end of the day, like after our races, we're just boys. And like, we're just like having a laugh and like loving life again and just being boys.
Is there a bit of friendly banter, you know, in the, I don't know, the Instagram DMs, the texts from guys like Gout and Locke winding each other up or G-ing each other up?
Oh, there is some of that. But like at the end of the day, it's all friendly and love.
It's crazy to think that not that long ago you were representing New Zealand, you know, Kiwi born guy, lived in Canberra, went back to the NZ. Now you're in the green and gold. Why did you make the switch to Australia? For those who aren't as familiar with your story, Eddie.
I appreciate my time with Team New Zealand, but I'm looking forward to the future with Team Australia. There is a lot of like information behind the doors that I feel comfortable sharing.
Is that part hard for you to have, you know, people asking that? Because we're all sort of familiar with the sprint scene. And then you have someone like yourself who's, we see, doing incredible things across the ditch in New Zealand, and you burst onto the scene and there's just a natural curiosity there. Is that a challenging thing for you to have to reckon with?
It's tough at times, like, because, like, I just don't want to, like, spill the full story because, like, of what happened behind the scenes. But, like, honestly, I just try to give it, like, the shortened version and, like, the obvious version of, like, of why I switch over to that, switch over from New Zealand to Australia, but instead of, like, getting into full detail because, like, it could get very messy.
How big has Australian athletics been for your evolution? Do you feel like they're helping you get the best out of yourself?
Oh, yeah. Like, ever since I've been in Athletics Australia, everybody has just been helpful and, like, everybody has been caring. And, like, from the athletes to the coaches to the trainers to the dietitian, like, they've been playing a big role. Like, they've been, like, investing in us very, very well. And, like, it's paying off. Like, the world relays, like, we had 6 out of 6 teams that made the Beijing World Championships. And that's, like, very special. That's, like, showing how we're progressing. And that's what I'd love to see. And, like, it's going to just build a bigger generation. One day, like, we're just going to be a powerhouse like the US and the UK when it comes to the Olympic stage and the World Championship stage.
For the more casual fans who have seen you sort of burst onto the scene, I'm interested as well in your choice to go the US college route. It looks as though it's working so well. Brent Emanuel, your coach there, seems to have unlocked something in you. How is he and the program in the United States helped you sort of flick the switch?
Honestly, being in a college like University of Southern California has, like, unlocked so much potential of me.
And the USC Trojans running 1, 2, and 3. The men from Troy led there in that one by Nkitia at 10:03.
From, like, sticking, for finally having a structured system and, like, having things that I should focus on, like, we have dietitians, we have trainers, and, like, we have strength and conditioning coaches. It's very helpful, and it's just, like, and also we have sports psychologists as well, which is the reason why my mind is the way it is. We're using all these resources. It actually helps us to, like, become the best athlete that can be. And when I'm always listening to my coach and, like, always put full trust in him, all eggs in the basket, to think, now look at me, I'm just performing like the way that I'm actually performing, all because I just put trust in the whole system of University of California, and I'm appreciated to be here. Fight on.
Sprinting comes in the family. Your dad, Gus, raced for Ghana, held the Kiwi record until you broke it. What was that like, taking the national record off dad? And what's maybe the best piece of advice that dad has given you over the journey?
Honestly, when I broke my dad's record in 2022, it was amazing. The record has been there for like 25 years, and like for his own son to beat it is like something that nobody would ever believe. It's crazy, man. Honestly, crazy. But like the advice that my dad always have to, that he always gives me, especially to this day, is just don't worry about others and don't like focus on the outside. No, it's just focus on yourself and focus on like what you gotta do and just be locked in and ignore the haters and just run, man. Just run. Just relax. Just have fun with it.
You talk about just running, but there's been times where you've looked at other sports as well. As I understand it, you've pursued or dabbled with rugby, American football. I believe that you were thinking about being a wide receiver at the University of Hawaii, I think.
And Eddie Osei-Nakisha, he grew up in Canberra. He competes for New Zealand, but we've loved watching him. He's off to American football. He goes out a winner, 10-11.
What can you tell us about your time thinking about potentially being something, you know, athletically involved outside of sprinting?
Well, honestly, it has been a tough path, man, because like ever since 2017, I've been missing games left, right, and up from like outside circumstances to like ridiculous policies. It's just like, it was just frustrating. So playing these other sports just like was like a backdoor from sprinting, because like if just in case sprinting doesn't work out because of like the policies and like everything that's been going through it and the lack of exposure that I've been experiencing, rugby and football were like the two sports that like I thought that like with the speed that I can translate and I develop skill, it can like make me into a great of a rugby or a football player. But instead it just, with football, it's like it's much harder than it looks, right? Of speed, like it's just all about positioning. It's about where you're at in the football field. And it's like also football IQ. If you haven't played for a long time, it's like super hard to pick up, especially the older you get.
I guess the question on every Australian sports fan's lips, I guess we're impatient, we're greedy. How much faster do you think you can go, Eddie? Like to run 9.84 in all conditions, you know, that is obviously the fastest any Australian has ever run. Is there a sense that you can get even quicker?
Yeah, I believe I can get quicker. Like this is only my second year back, and like I'm feeling like I haven't even hit my peak yet. It's only gonna get faster from here, and like I don't want to put a projected time out there, but like I just feel like I could hopefully be in the top list of all time for the world athletics. It'll be amazing to be a top 10 one day. For now, I just gotta like work on my mechanics and just try to get bigger, stronger, faster, and just go from there and like just run as fast as I can. And I believe I can do it, man. Just believe I can like crack the 9.7s.
Wow. It's absolutely thrilling to hear you talk about running 9.7s, to see you buying into Australian athletics and wanting us to be competing with those absolute superpowers. I assume the Olympics is logically the next huge goal on the horizon, LA 2028. You're in California right now. What do you feel like you need to do in the next 2 years? And are we going to get to see you competing in Australia, Eddie? Like the idea of you, Gout, Lockie, running at like a Murray plant meet or something like that, that is absolutely mouthwatering for Australian athletics fans.
Well, the thing is, like, it's just NCAA commitments. But like after the NCAA championships, well, I'm going to make a decision whether I'm going to go pro or if I'm going to go back to college for another year. I'm hoping, if things go well, hoping by next year I'll be back racing in Australia, doing the circuit and like racing Lachlan Kennedy and Gal Gal, which I'm looking forward to it. Like it's something that I've been looking forward to, is racing those guys. I'm just grinning ear to ear. Like I just can't wait to just verse them. Like it's going to be something special. And I believe like we're going to run something crazy, not just in the 100, but in the 200. Just got to see what happens in the NCAAs. And if I can finish the job, then hopefully by next year.
Mate, we're enjoying the show from a distance. We hope to see you on a home track sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today and sharing your time. We appreciate it, man.
No worries, man. Thank you for having me on board.
Headlines. In breaking news, the AFL has fined Carlton $75,000 over the Elijah Hollands incident from the Collingwood game in round 6. The Navy Blues player experienced a mental health episode during the game, and the circumstances of that have been reviewed by the AFL. They've handed down their sanction. Here's Andrew Dillon.
We found that there were sufficient visual cues, performance data during the match, and an understanding of Elijah's individual circumstances to indicate that he should have been removed from play earlier than he was. We also determined that the delay in removing Elijah from the field resulted in an outcome that brought the game into disrepute.
The money will go to the Headspace charity. The AFL also announced a raft of changes, including clubs getting a full-time psychologist. There's also a WorkSafe investigation taking place on this matter. That meant the AFL had to choose some of its words carefully. For full coverage, check the ABC Sport website. Yesterday, we mentioned the incredible scenes at Snapper Rocks as Steph Gilmore won her 7th Gold Coast Pro. Later in the day, Ethan Ewing knocked over former Australian, now Japanese representative Connor O'Leary to claim the win in the men's. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the NCAA, Channel 7 and Australian Athletics for the extra audio used in this episode.